tweet at Today SOR.
And that concludes our fourth leaders' interview for the general election. There is, of course, still one to be done. Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister. We have been asking him for weeks now to give us a date, a time, a venue. As of now, none has been forthcoming. The theme running through our questions is trust, and why at so many times in his career in politics and journalism, critics and sometimes even those close to him have deemed him to be untrustworthy. There is no law that can force Mr. Johnson to participate, but the Prime Minister of our nation will at times have to stand up to President Trump, President Putin, President Xi of China. So it was surely not expecting too much that he spent half an hour standing up to me.
The BBC's Andrew Neil there in a monologue at the end of last night's programme in which he interviewed the Brexit Party leader Nigel Farage. He threw down, as we heard, the gauntlet there to Boris Johnson, challenging the Prime Minister to agree to a 30-minute TV grilling. He says, we have an interview prepared, oven ready, as the Prime Minister likes to say. But it seems that it's unlikely to happen tonight, though. There is to be a head-to-head, Jeremy Corbyn and Boris Johnson in a BBC debate. On the line now, Kevin Maguire, Associate Editor with the Daily Mirror, and Andrew Pearce, Consultant Editor and Columnist with the Daily Mail. Andrew, if you were advising Boris Johnson, would you say he's right to avoid Andrew Neil?
Well, if I was advising him as a journalist, I'd want him to do it because it would be great theatre. Andrew Neil is one of the best interviewers in the country. He's formidable. He's a great interrogator. But as if I was advising him politically, he's probably 9 or 10 points ahead in the polls. Why risk it? It could all go horribly wrong. He's not great under pressure. He's not the best person to be interviewed. And he can argue, with some justification, unlike Tony Blair, unlike Gordon Brown, unlike David Cameron, he has submitted himself to two head-to-heads with the Leader of the Opposition. He's done one already with Jeremy Corbyn. He's doing one tonight. And he's also done an hour phone-in on my radio station where I work, LBC, with members of the public, which was very tricky, where Nick Ferrari asked him straight away, how many children have you got? And guess what? He blustered and he fumbled. I don't think he wants that question asked on live television because I suspect Andrew Neil might have asked him that question. And I genuinely don't know if he knows the answer.
And Kevin, as was said about Tony Blair, I think way back in 1997, Boris Johnson is effectively the man carrying a precious vase across a polished floor, and he really wants to get to the other side of the room. But and also the point is being made that, according to Tories anyway, the public are fed up with interviews that are all about the interviewer and endless interruptions.
Yeah, and it's great. When Jeremy Corbyn faced Andrew Neil and had a really rough interview, the Tory party, which thinks this is people are fed up with it and it's tired, well, they put the entire interview all over their Facebook page and they went to town on it. So I think what it really is, he's being cowardly and slippery. He knows trust is a huge issue around him. We essentially heard the questions Andrew Neil would ask, and it wasn't just about his character, it was about policies on supposedly ending austerity on hospitals and nurses when he inflates figures, and he would struggle. So he thinks he's better off just taking the hit of being slippery and evasive to being what would effectively be eviscerated. It comes down to a real arrogance, however, and you do wonder if he's like this now, what will he be like when he's in power, if he's returned with a majority? And elections are about tough interviews, not just debates, it's tough interviews. It's accountability. Democracy relies on it, that people can see you answering tough questions. But he's frightened. That's what he is. He's frightened, Johnson, because he is a pathological liar. We're going to be very careful in the media and politics calling people liars. Sometimes it's bandied around too much. There are very strict defamation laws in the United Kingdom. We can call Boris Johnson a liar and not fear a lawyer's letter because he's been sacked twice for it and he's so often a stranger to the truth.
No wonder then, Andrew, that Andrew Neil would place such emphasis on the question of trust in the oven-ready interview that he has prepared.
There's no doubt it's the issue because if you think about the last TV debate, I don't know if it's the question time one, but when a member of the audience asked Boris Johnson if they could trust him, and he said yes, there was open derision. People just laughed in his face. Now, politicians who want to be prime minister don't like it when people laugh in their face. It shows a lack of respect. It shows a lack of, they don't think there's much moral fibre there. And it's why he's not going to submit himself to that, because in half an hour, that trust question will be the first question, the middle question, and the one at the end. the one thing he would say, of course, is you can trust me to run the economy, you can trust me to sort out Brexit, you can't trust the other bloke, Jeremy Corbyn. And, of course, he'll have studied the Jeremy Corbyn interview with Andrew Neil. It was not just a car crash. It was a full-blown motorway pile-up. It was a disaster.
And it's interesting this weekend now with papers and influential opinion formers coming to their choice and their editorial recommendation. The Financial Times this morning, unable to recommend either party, saying that both offer illusory remedies that hark back to a half-imagined past. Boris Johnson's nationalist Tories to the days of warm beer and empire. Jeremy Corbyn's hard left Labour to the state control of the 1970s. Would you agree with that, Kevin?
I think the Financial Times used to back Labour in the Blair era, then it went to the Conservatives. So effectively, it can't endorse the Conservatives this time. That's what that's really about. And it's around the question of Europe. And probably the biggest lie of the campaign is Boris Johnson's moronic mantra about get Brexit done, when, of course, it will do nothing of the sort by the end of January. That'd just be the divorce. And living together in terms of trade and what happens in the future is going to take absolutely years. So we will not get Brexit done. But now, I think a lot of organisations and media outlets are agonising. I don't know quite what clout they have when they come down. I write a column for the New Statesman, and that didn't endorse Labour. First time it hasn't done it for a long time. Instead, it said it wants to vote for the anti-Tory, the anti-Johnson candidate, wherever you are. So that might be the SNP, Liberals, Greens, or Labour. But no, it's been a weird, as Tony Blair said, it's been a very weird campaign. Not just because it's in the winter and it's dark and cold, and so people don't canvass in the same way, but I think it's because the Conservatives have had a very safety first going to the election ahead in the polls. So it's just been dodging as much as they can. Things like the Andrew Neil interview, and it's cut through that. It's now one of the issues mentioned about the campaign.
Yeah, so
because trust is a big, big issue.
Andrew, the other thing, Andrew Pearce, is that, I mean, The Economist, if you read it this weekend as well, they find themselves endorsing the Lib Dems, because, again, for the same reason they can't bring themselves to endorse either of the two big parties. They say that the choice is between a Tory party that really runs the risk of a hard Brexit, given Johnson's insistence he won't extend the date for concluding a trade agreement, and between that and a Labour party that wants to rewrite the rules of the economy along radical socialist lines.
Yeah, but you see, for The Economist to do that, I mean, it's a bit of a cop-out, really, because everybody knows the Liberal Democrats have got not a hope in hell of winning the general election.
But your point is valid, but isn't that just a measure of how awful the position is? I mean, given that elections are about forming governments.
Yeah, sure. I think there's ever been an election where the two leaders have been such Marmite characters. There's a vast swathe of people who can't stand Corbyn, who would normally vote Labour, a vast swathe of people who would normally vote Tory, who can't stand Boris Johnson. And actually, the more people have seen of Joe Swinson, the new leader on the block, I think the less they've liked her. Of course, The Economist is very opposed to leaving the European Union, and the Liberal Democrats, unlike the Labour Party, have a very clear policy. They want to cancel it.
Right, time to get your predictions. I know there are 6 days to go.
Oh, dear.
Kevin Maguire, Associate Editor of the Daily Mirror. What are you expecting we'll be talking about this time next week?
Yeah, well, in 2015 and 2017, I called them both wrong. So I'm always tempted to go for a huge Tory majority so they don't have one at all. But no, I think at the moment you would say a small Conservative majority. But as you say, there is almost a week to go, events can take in, and there's going to be huge tactical voting, I believe. And if that happens, it's certainly going to impact the result, which makes it very difficult to predict.
And Andrew Pearce?
Well, I think if Jeremy Corbyn can land a knockout blow tonight in the leaders' debate, that could change everything, but I'm not sure he's capable of that. My prediction would be a Tory majority of probably not much more than 25 to 35.
OK, I'm sure he'd be very happy with that if he gets it.
He would.
Boris Johnson, my thanks to you both. All will be revealed. We'll be talking about it without question this time next week on Friday the 13th at this time. My thanks to you both, as I say, Kevin Maguire, Associate Editor of the Daily Mirror, and Andrew Pearce, Consultant Editor and Columnist with the Daily Mail.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.